Welcome to Day of Destiny with Dr. Michelle Correll, author, prophetic teacher, and pastor of Breath of the Spirit Prophetic Word Center. Dr. Correll can be seen weekly, nationwide, and around the world on her weekly telecasts that air on God TV, Impact, and Word Network. Now, let's join Dr. Correll by experiencing Day of Destiny, designed with your highest destiny in mind. Now, here is Dr. Correll.
We're opening our Bibles tonight, dear people of God. We're going to open our Bibles tonight to the book of, Gospel according to Luke, the 8th chapter and the 2nd verse. And I'm just looking for my glasses. Yes, they are here. Thank you, Lord. At Luke chapter 8, verse 2. Now tonight, beloved saints, we are going to be speaking to you about taking dominion over evil spirits, how they work. The therapeutic dimensions of deliverance are what we're going to speak about tonight, how we get delivered from the inside out. And tonight, in order for us to fully understand, there are many, we want to ask the Lord, what in terms of what area do we actually classify the casting out of spirits in terms of signs, wonders, miracles, charismatic gifts of the Holy Spirit? First of all, in order for us to effectively understand our call in Christ Jesus to do this, remember, Jesus said this is part of the Great Commission. Jesus said in Mark chapter 16, looking at verse, let's go quickly, Mark chapter 16, looking at verse 17 before we look here. Mark chapter 16, verse 17 says, hallelujah, these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. So you and I must understand this is all part of the Great Commission. The Great Commission actually begins on verse 15. How many of you know what the Great Commission is? The Great Commission is go into all the world to preach the gospel. Turn to your neighbor and say it's in every gospel. Say this with me. In Matthew, in Mark, in Luke, and in John. Now, in Luke's gospel, it's placed actually in the book of Acts, which is a continuation of Luke's gospel. And that is found in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, because Luke's gospel ends with the ascension. But I want you to see this. Jesus said unto them, go ye into all the world to preach the gospel to every creature. This is the Great Commission. We should know this. All believers need to know this. This is the most important commandment that he gave to us besides love one another as I have loved you. This is a commandment. It's not an option. It's the Great Commission. Say it with me, the Great Commission. Let's look at the Great Commission from Matthew's Gospel, the 28th chapter and the 18th and 19th verse. Matthew 28, look at Matthew's version of go ye into all the world. Notice Jesus came and spoke to them saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Notice it is a commission that Jesus gave all disciples to go into all the world to preach the gospel. Are you with me, saints? In John's gospel, he said, receive the Holy Spirit. As the Father has sent me, so send I you. Are you with me, saints? And in Luke's gospel, the text teaches in Luke's gospel, which is so powerful, Jesus said, wait till you be endued with power and on high. Hallelujah. And then in Acts chapter 1, which is a continuation of Luke's gospel, because Acts was written by Luke, the Bible says, hallelujah, you will receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. It is a commandment to go into all the world to preach the gospel. Put your hands up right now and say, Lord, tonight I want to receive the mantle and the power and the doors opened to go into all the world to preach the gospel to every creature. Give me the desire and open the door in the name of Jesus. Come on, give God the praise and give God the glory. If you're part of Breath of the Spirit, you will go eventually. Hallelujah. And if you don't go physically, you've already gone through your support. Amen. Now, beloved saints, I want you to understand, as part of this great commission, when we obey the great commission, signs follow. There are certain signs that are activated in the life of the believer by obedience to the great commission. This is why every person that goes on the mission field is used in signs and wonders. Even if you're a new Christian, and you go and you lay hands on individuals on the mission field, you will see miracles like you've never seen before. Why? Because it's a result of what Jesus said, go ye into all the world, and these signs will follow them that believe. In my name, notice the first one, they will cast out devils. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. What's that? That is another form of deliverance. They will take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not harm them. Amen, saints? All right, so where does the category fall into when we speak about evil spirits? First of all, I want you to know that it falls in the category, first of all, of signs and wonders, which is not the same as the gifts of the Spirit. You say, I thought they were all the same. No, they are not. Signs and wonders are a result. They operate differently. They come as a result of preaching the gospel. This is why the Bible says certain types of tongues are a sign to the unbeliever. That is said in, let us look at that just for a moment, in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 22. I want you to see this. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 22. I don't want us confused about the gifts of the Spirit. I want us to be understanding the gifts of the Spirit. How many of you want to operate in the gifts of the Spirit? You were anointed to operate in the gifts of the Spirit. It's your destiny to operate in the gifts of the Spirit. God wants you skilled and trained so that you can begin to operate in the supernatural. Notice what 1 Corinthians chapter 14 22 says, wherefore tongues are a sign not to them that believe, but to them that what? Believe not. Now, this is a little confusing, because let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. There's two different types of tongues he's talking about, and this is where the confusion is. Look at 1 Corinthians 14, verse 1. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 1. Not Chronicles, Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 1, beloved saints. Hallelujah. Thank you so much. What a blessing. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 1 says, follow after charity and desire spiritual gifts, but rather that you may prophesy. Notice how Paul ranks the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Turn to your neighbor and say, Paul is ranking the gifts of the Spirit. Rather that you may prophesy means that is a more superior gift. Because why? It edifies another person. Anything that is a gift flowing through you that builds up somebody else, it's a better gift. Okay? Now notice what he says. He that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. For no man understandeth him. Now watch 1 Corinthians 14, same chapter, in the 22nd verse. The 22nd verse says, wherefore tongues are a sign not to them that believe, but to them that believe not. Wait a minute, what's going on here? First he says, tongues are a sign to not to them that believe, but to them that believe not. And then he says, he that speaks in an unknown tongue does not speak unto men, but unto God. So what's going on? Doesn't that seem like a contradiction? Yes, it does. Because he's speaking about two different actions of speaking in tongues. One is the prayer language. The prayer language of speaking in tongues is when you speak not unto men, but unto God. No man understands you because you are speaking to God in mysteries. Paul said, if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth. Say it with me, my spirit prayeth. Hallelujah. But now watch this. Go back to verse 22. And verse 22 is talking not about the gift of tongues, but the sign of tongues. Amen. A total different operation and a total different demonstration. Say it with me, not a total different manifestation and a total different operation. Notice, wherefore tongues are a sign. That means it's the sign. So signs and wonders, though they are supernatural, have a different operation other than the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Both are supernatural, but one is meant for the unbeliever and the other is meant to build up the church and the body of Christ. We have to have clarity on what the Word of God says. Are you with me? Turn to your neighbor and say, I don't want to be in confusion about the supernatural, because I plan on excelling in the gifts of the Spirit. This is what Paul said. He said, desire spiritual gifts. Amen. So notice it says, wherefore tongues are a sign not to them that believe, but to them that believe not. Now, why are we saying this? Because if we're going to understand about casting out devils, we have to understand why and what category of the gifts of the Spirit they belong to. Are you following me? One is that casting out spirits is a sign. It's a sign to the unbeliever. And it's a sign, it's for the purpose of a sign. These signs shall follow them that believe. So it's not in the category of the gifts of the Spirit. It is in the category of signs. Are you following me? Hallelujah. All right, so you might say, well, what operation of tongues is a sign? That means men are going to understand those tongues. The Bible says it's wherefore tongues are for a sign, not to them that believe, but to them that believe not. So it's a bit confusing, because when he's talking about the other kinds of tongues, he says not to use it in the church. So how can that possibly be a sign to them that believe not, when they don't understand what you're saying? Because the type of tongues he's speaking about are the tongues that happened in the upper room. In the upper room on the day of Pentecost, they were filled with the Holy Ghost, but they received the ability to preach in languages they never studied. Are you following me? If you are, say amen. That's why, go with me to Acts chapter 1. I want you to see this. Excuse me, Acts chapter 2. Go with me to Acts chapter 2 very quickly. And for those of you that don't understand it, let me give you an example. How many of you want an example of how this operates? In the Azusa Revival, how many of you have ever heard of the Azusa Street Revival? Put up your hand. The Azusa Revival happened in 1906. And in the Azusa Revival, in the actual location of Azusa, all right, in the actual location of Azusa once the revival was beginning to peak, individuals in Los Angeles, well, so many people would come in on the train because it was becoming an international, because of the newsletter. They had a tremendous newsletter. And it was becoming an internationally known. So the people from Revival were coming from England. They were coming from all over the world. And also Los Angeles was a melting pot in 1906 for persons from different countries. And there are several accounts of what happened one night during a revival, during the prayer that was going on in Azusa. A young boy came in who was about 12 years old. He did not know the Lord, and he was a Mayan Indian. And he sat next to someone who was praying in tongues, and they were praying in perfect Mayan Indian next to him. But this is the miracle. The person next to them was praying, actually praying in the spirit, but it was a prophecy. The man that was praying it didn't know it was a prophecy. It was going to the young man who was the Mayan Indian who came in. The Lord called him by his name. The Lord said, "You are mine." The Lord said, "I brought you to this place," in Mayan Indian. And the Mayan Indian ran to the altar and got saved. Hello? I said, hello? Most of the people who spoke in tongues in Azusa was like the day of Pentecost. We've got this on documented record, and I've heard this not only from experts that were experts in the Azusa revival, theologians that studied the Azusa revival, but documentation that is held over. For example, the one man who came into Azusa, who was a Jew, who came to shut it down, who said, "This is just a place of fanatics, and we're going to prove these fanatics." And what they would do is in this beat-up building, the beat-up building of Azusa, how many of you have ever seen that, the picture of the Apostolic Faith Mission? It was an old, dilapidated barn, actually. But it started out to be years before. It was actually an AME church. And it got so dilapidated, a beautiful woman by the name of Biddy bought it. And you know how she bought it? She was a slave. And she was emancipated. And she took her money. She worked so hard when she was emancipated. She saved every penny, every dollar. That woman ended up being one of the most wealthy ladies in Los Angeles. And she bought the AME church. But she suffered so much in her life. And she bought the AME church. Then later, other organizations took it over. And finally, William Joseph Seymour bought the Apostolic Faith Mission for the revival. But there would be constantly persons that were putting the revival on trial, just saying this is crazy because they've never heard speaking in tongues before. So a Jewish man came in with a newspaper, and he was a newspaper reporter, and he was ready to shut the Azusa Street revival down. There was upstairs, Brother Seymour had a prayer loft upstairs. And when he wanted everybody downstairs, he'd just pound the ground and they'd come downstairs. And so this girl, young teenager, was praying through upstairs. And when she was walking down the stairs to go into the room, because Brother Seymour called everybody to the meeting, this man was there taking pictures everywhere. And she pointed to him and started speaking in Hebrew to him about the Lord, the power of the Holy Ghost. The man that came to shut Azusa down got saved by the signs and the wonders and the miracles. Are you with me, saints? So it's important that when we are dealing with demonic spirits, that we understand the categories. that we understand why. All right? So I want us to see this. Notice in the gospel according to Mark, and we'll go in a moment back to Luke, but I want you to see in the gospel according to Mark, not only did we see the call of the Great Commission, but I want you to see in Mark chapter 1, looking at verse 32, the Bible says, "And when evening was come, the sun did set, and they brought unto him them that were diseased and all them that were possessed with devils." Look at verse 34. "And he healed them that were sick of divers diseases and cast out devils." Do you see the correlation that is beginning to be built with casting out devils and healing of sicknesses? If you do, say amen. All right, let us continue just for a moment, and I want you to understand this concept of casting out devils and also people that were sick being healed. Hallelujah. Notice chapter 6, verse 13 says, "They cast out many devils and anointed with oil them that were sick and healed them." So we are seeing in the context of casting out devils, we are seeing that there are certain types of demonic spirits related to illnesses. And there are certain types of demonic spirits related to weaknesses in the mind. Let us look at this just for a moment so we can understand what we are speaking about here tonight, so we can understand the word of the living God. Let us look, dear people of God. We are looking at the gospel according to Luke, the 8th chapter. Let us go to Luke chapter 8, and let's look at verse 2. Luke chapter 8, verse 2. And the Bible says, "And certain women which had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities." Notice these are evil spirits and infirmities. In Matthew's gospel, the 17th chapter and the 15th verse, a man who had a son that was possessed with the spirit, the Bible says he asked Jesus to cast the spirit out, and his son was, quote unquote, lunatic. So there are certain spirits that attack the area of the mind, and there are other spirits that attack the area of the body. This is why when the demoniac of the Gadarenes was healed, notice all throughout the New Testament scriptures, you will see two effects of casting out devils. One is just the driving out of those demonic forces. And then other texts, such as we have read right here in Luke, it will be associated with healing. So we see one has to do with the healing, which is a therapeutic dimension of deliverance. Say it with me. A therapeutic dimension of deliverance. Notice the demoniac of the Gadarenes, when he was healed, the Bible says, he was clothed and in his right mind. Are you following me? Because there are certain demonic spirits that are associated with making persons insane or mentally ill. Are you with me? If you are, say amen. Now, that doesn't mean all mental illness, but it does mean some mental illness. And the Bible shows us this. This is why the Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, "God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind." Are you with me, saints? So the mind becomes an area of vulnerability to demonic spirits. And this is where we must understand when the Bible says they were healed of evil spirits, that there is a therapeutic dimension of deliverance that's more than just casting out a devil. There are methods for the miraculous that Jesus used. And in particular, some of the methods for the miraculous that Jesus used, specifically in the driving out of devils, wasn't always just commanding the devil to leave. There were some individuals that needed a deliverance in a more therapeutic way. I hope you're following me. That had hurts inside and had gone through prison-like experiences in their emotions. Go with me, please, if you will, to Psalm. I want us to look at Psalm 102. And I want us to see in Psalm 102, beloved saints, hallelujah. I'm just going to turn to it really quickly. And I want us also to go to not only Psalm 102, but I want us to look for a moment at Isaiah chapter 42. But Psalm 102, I want to read it to you. For he looked down from the height of his sanctuary from heaven and did behold the earth. Watch this. To hear the groaning of the prisoner, to loose those that are appointed to death. What does it mean when the Bible says to hear the groaning of the prisoner? There are emotions that can be taken captive and put in a prison-like experience. There can be from trauma, memories that are vaulted in a prison-like experience, that causes an individual to stay stuck in the past and unable to go forward. Are you hearing this? Jesus understands the depths of human suffering. He understands abuse. He understands rejection, because rejection is a fear or an anxiety that is developed from excessive abandonment, disappointment, and a sense of being unwanted and unloved. So we need to understand that many of these emotions are destructive emotions. Shame is a destructive emotion. It can cause an individual to feel isolated for the rest of their life and put them in a spiritual prison. Are you with me? Amen. So there are some methods of deliverance where Jesus is going to drive out a spirit, but he is also going to heal the depths of human suffering and pain. Sometimes it's a process. I want you to understand it's a process. Let us look just really quickly. I want you to see the secret of Samaria. Say it with me, the secret of Samaria. Hallelujah. Somebody ought to give God the praise, the secret of Samaria. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to the Holy Lord. Hallelujah. Let's open our Bibles for a moment. I'm going to show you this very quickly because I want us to see this before we pray for you tonight. Hallelujah. In the Gospel according to Luke, the 17th chapter and the 11th verse. Luke chapter 17, 11 through 14. Now, please understand, dear people, this is the healing of 10 lepers, but I'm going somewhere with this, okay? Notice it says, and I want us to understand that there's this concept that they were healed as they went. Jesus doesn't always heal instantly. Sometimes he does, but everything is a miracle. The Bible tells us the nobleman's son began to amend. Amend. Say it with me. Amend. At the hour that Jesus said, thy son liveth. Okay, so there's different methods. Sometimes amending is much more miraculous than an instant miracle. Because there are depths and layers that Jesus wants to heal. Are you hearing this? It doesn't mean when someone is amending that that is a less miracle than someone who gets out of a wheelchair instantly and begins to walk. We cannot say that because Jesus did both. If you notice in this miracle that we are sharing from the 10 lepers, the Bible says they were healed as they went. I've seen that. I've seen individuals healed as they went. Oh, I'll never forget it. In Purwakarta, Indonesia. We're getting ready to go back to Indonesia, but I'll be a guest, so it's not a Breath of the Spirit event. But we're getting ready to go back in the month of April. But my husband and I, we used to go to Indonesia every year, and with our children in the summer, not for a vacation. It was to serve the Lord for a whole solid month of meetings in Indonesia. And one of those occasions, we went to a village called Purwakarta. It was in central Java. The church was packed with villagers from Indonesia. And many Muslims came. That would happen all the time in Indonesia. And there was a Muslim family that had come with a crippled child, an epileptic child. The child was twisted. It was completely deformed. It was just one of those types of children that you see that are a very, 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 very special needs and extremely not able to walk. And there were so many other things. After the service, the host of the event said, please, will you not leave? Please pray for this couple and their child. They had barefoot people with cut off bottoms of their little pants there. I remember that so clearly, wearing a batik. They had their child in their hand. And I thought, I don't really feel on fire for God. I had just ministered. I said, oh, Jesus, I don't feel the anointing. I did not feel the anointing. I was just so drained out, I didn't feel it. And I was very concerned because I didn't feel the anointing. But we prayed and we asked the Lord, please touch this little guy. I went home and never really heard what happened to the little boy until the next year. The next year I came, this is God as my witness, there was a little youngster running around. And after the service, the host of the church said, do you know who that is? And I said, no, I don't. And he said, that is the little boy from the Muslim couple. That they asked you for prayer. And they said when they got home, they put the baby in a crib. He was about 3, but he had to be in a crib. He was so crippled and little. And they heard at midnight the crib cracking and moving. And they were watching the child's hands grow out and the legs stretch out. And after the child was healed, they ran to the church and were baptized and became Christians. Hello? These are the kinds of miracles. We can't even imagine what it was like with Jesus. We can't. And so we must understand that he wants to heal the whole person, not just the physical. When he comes to heal, he heals the whole person. And you cannot be healed physically, even if you're the most spiritual person on the planet, without receiving a spiritual healing when the physical healing takes place. And so looking at this, the Bible says in Luke 17, hallelujah, and it came to pass as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee, and he entered into a certain village. And there met him 10 lepers which stood afar off. And he said unto them, and when he saw them, he said unto them, go show yourselves unto the priest. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. Now, I want you to see something about this text. Notice it says the 10 lepers stood afar off. Do you see that? They were at a distance. They could not come close. They were in a place of isolation. They were in a place that they had an inability to be close and to connect. And we wonder why does this text go out of its way to tell us the direction Jesus was going in? Notice it says in Luke 17, 1, it says to us, hallelujah, at the very beginning, it tells us, and it came to pass as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through Samaria and Galilee. To us, that doesn't mean much. But if you notice, the scripture, Luke is telling us much more than him just being, when he goes home, that he's going to be on the way to Galilee. I want you to understand what Luke is telling us. Luke is telling us most Jews, when they came from Jerusalem, they did not pass through Samaria and Galilee. They went all the way to Perea because Jews had no dealings with the Samaritans. But Luke is going out of his way to tell us Jesus is going to pass, going back and coming, not through the way that the traditional individuals go to stay, that they will not be in Samaria. Jesus is going to pass through Samaria to go home to Galilee. And when he does this miracle, it's in that path, because there is another time when the same route is taken in John's gospel in the 4th chapter, when Jesus is going to go to Samaria and he's going to pass through Samaria, dear child of God, in John chapter 4. Let us just look at that just for a moment. Hallelujah. In John chapter 4, I want us to see this. And there's a reason why he brings this out in Luke's gospel. In John chapter 4, the Bible says, verse 3, he left Judea and departed into Galilee, and he must needs go through Samaria. Notice, John and Luke both are going to show us something about spiritual leprosy and actual physical leprosy. One is a physical, 10 of them were physical lepers and they stood afar off. But there is another type of leprosy that Jesus sees that can be spiritual or emotional, where a person feels they cannot connect with anyone. where a person feels isolated, where a person feels separated. And that's what happened to the woman at the well. She came at a time when no one else would be there. She felt separated. She felt isolated. Are you seeing this? And just as Jesus healed the 10 lepers as they went from their biological leprosy, this woman who also has the symptoms of leprosy, but not physical, she cannot connect with anyone. She's isolated. She has shame about her. Because why? Because of her life. And so she doesn't feel she can connect with anyone at all. But after Jesus spent the time with her, hallelujah, and told her, I am he, she went back and evangelized that entire area of Samaria, but she was delivered of inward leprosy. Are you following me? Notice he didn't cast out devils. He didn't even lay hands on her. He just told her, go call your husband. He went right to the area of shame. He went right to the area of tragedy. He went right to the area of personal isolation and personal separation. And meeting with him alone at that well, he set it up so he could pour into her life another method of healing. Not laying hands, but the healing of word of knowledge. The healing of loving her so much that she left and said, come see a man who told me everything I ever did. Are you following me? Tonight, in closing, very quickly, write it down. I want to give you 3 steps to deliverance before I pray for you, before we pray for you. 3 supernatural steps into deliverance tonight. Go with me to Isaiah 52. These 3 steps to deliverance are found in these 2 verses. There are methods of deliverance that we know we have to have hands laid on us. We know there are methods of deliverance where spirits do have to come out, but that is not the only way. There are sometimes spirits come out, and also on top of that, there needs to be a tremendous amount of inner healing and pain that has been shoved and stuffed for years to be dealt with, the areas of woundedness to be healed by the word of God and by the acceptance. Are you following me? By the love that only Jesus' love could heal. Yes. There are some wounds that only his love can heal. Are you following me, saints? All right, so I want us to see in Isaiah 52 very quickly. The Bible says in Isaiah chapter 52, looking at verse 1, it's a very important text. The Bible says, hallelujah, awake, awake, put on your strength. O Zion, put on your beautiful garments, O Jerusalem, the holy city, for henceforth there shall no more come unto you the uncircumcised and the unclean. Shake yourself from the dust, arise and sit down, loose yourself. Turn to your neighbor and say, there are some methods of deliverance that you have to loose yourself. That you have to deliver yourself. I said there are some areas of deliverance that no man, no matter how anointed he is or she is, can deliver you. It is from your own determination that you will find supernatural liberation from demonic spirits and captivity. Some of it depends on choice. Some of us are waiting for someone really anointed to come and just keep delivering us. And there are some methods of deliverance that will never take place. Because the only one who can deliver you is you. I said the only one who can deliver you is you. Notice, go back to verse 1. Awake, awake. This has to do with spiritual apathy. This is the door to demonic interference in a life. Any person who makes a choice to live an apathetic, double-minded life opens themselves up to a type of demonic interference in their life that only they can deliver themselves from. By making a choice, they're going to awake. Secondly, put on thy strength. This word strength here, notice it says put on thy strength. In the Greek language, in the New Testament, Jesus said, but wait till you be endued with power from on high. That word endued in the Greek language means to put on. Wait till you put on. Hallelujah. Wait till you are clothed upon with power from on high. That's what he was saying in Luke 24, verse 49. Wait till you are clothed upon with power from on high, until you are endued with power from on high. So putting on one's strength is putting on the power of God. Do you really want to be delivered? You need to be under the anointing. There is a certain type of deliverance that takes place just by dwelling in the anointing and walking in the anointing. I said, tell your neighbor, deliver yourself. Get under the anointing. Hello, I said, deliver yourself and stay under the anointing. Notice it says, put on your beautiful garments, O holy city. Now watch this. Shake yourself from the dust. That actually interprets shake off. In Acts 28, verse 5, a viper fastened itself to the arm of Paul and he shook off the beast. The Bible here says, shake yourself from the dust. What does that mean? The dust has to do with debris. You know, when we're walking in life, there's a lot of debris that clings to us. Debris of unforgiveness, debris of things we've walked through, debris of the fiery furnace, debris that from tragedies, debris. Some of us are still clothed or still got the debris on from last year's trial, and it's about time we shake it off. We need to shake off that last tragedy. We need to shake off what somebody said to us that threw us into a tizzy for 5 months and put us in depression. Shake it off.
Yes. Hallelujah.
Shake thyself from the dust. Arise and sit down. Now watch this. Loose thyself. Oh, captive daughter of Zion. So that means loose thyself means that type of emancipation or liberation is going to involve a tremendous amount of divine determination. You're not going back. You're not going to think like that. You're going to shake it off. You're not going to allow somebody's thoughts. Sometimes we go through humiliating experiences. Sometimes people say things to us that throw us. We try to forget it, but our emotions, we're human. People will say things to us. And we feel we've been devoured. Or things will happen that are shocking. But we have to shake it off. Shake it off. Turn to your neighbor and say, "Lord, neighbor, pray for me to shake it off." Come on, let's stand right now. In the name of Jesus. God, tonight, come on. We are going to break and bind every spirit that has held God's people back. Spirits of isolation. Spirits of separation. Spirits of depression. Spirits that want to hold you back from what God's got for you. Spirits that are on an assignment to destroy you. For some, there has been attacks in your mind. Your mind has been taken captive. You are in depression. You are in a place where you're constantly weeping, where you feel isolated and separated right now. We want to speak to those spirits.
Thank you for joining us today on Day of Destiny. We invite you to our website at mydayofdestiny.com. where you can easily access other podcasts and obtain your copy of Dr. Corral's latest book, Secrets of the Anointing. Also, we want to take this moment to invite you to engage in extending your hand of kindness by planting your seed or offering for multitudes that include orphans, providing water wells, providing medical supplies, clinics, feeding programs, and many other services to the suffering church, and through efforts of evangelism worldwide. Just go to our website and click the donate button or text to give. Text HESED, C-H-E-S-E-D, to 7797. That's HESED, C-H-E-S-E-D, to 7797. You are also invited to visit Dr. Michelle Corral Facebook or Instagram. We look forward to having you encounter the anointing with us on our next Day of Destiny podcast.